The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. And good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother and Me. It's an advice show for the modern era, and I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
They call me the baby, Griffin McElroy. They don't use my name. They just say, hey, look at that baby.
Look at that baby. He's a grown baby.
I'm a grown-ass dude.
They call me Tater Salad.
Oh, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest, Ron White. What a treat to have you on the
program. We said we were going to have a guestpert this week, and he is a guestpert. In Tater Salad?
In Musical Tater Salad. Expert. I know I'm here for all your Tater Salad needs.
Can I hear some more of your great material, Tato Salad?
You might be a redneck if you eat Tater Salad.
Oh shit, they fuse together Akira style.
Whoa.
He's enveloping Neo Tokyo.
In Russia, salad taters you.
Oh no.
What?
Smirnoff's in the mix. Get him out of there.
Wait a second. Funky boy.
Oh, God.
Now it's an SNL.
He's crushing everybody to death with his body.
My wife.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. It's Borat. So this is our...
All-star comedy special.
All-star comedy special where we celebrate the fact that you have donated to the Max Fun Drive going on this week. This is really sort of a victory lap for us and you at home.
It's a courtesy, week, because we know you already done gave.
But if you want to share this episode with somebody who hasn't, because some people may not have, but you guys have just been amazing with the support. So fantastic. I mean, I feel like we probably should have had, since all of you have already donated, I feel like we should have already got more by now, but like... I'm sure that's just a kind of a number accounting error, possibly.
Yeah, So there's some hanging chad on those figures.
There's a bit of the old hanging chad, but we're going to talk about the Max Fun Drive a lot more coming up this episode.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Here's our first question. It's my birthday today. That is unlikely. It says it's my birthday today, and at some point during the afternoon, a bar of fancy birthday chocolate appeared on my desk. The problem is I don't know who in the office it's from. When I asked the primary suspects, they denied it being from them. The question is this. Do I have to wait until I identify who the gift is from before I begin enjoying the chocolate? That's from Sweet Tooth in San Francisco.
Ooh, that's a great question.
Yeah, right?
What's the order of operations vis-a-vis this birthday chocolate? Because I think you do have to find the person and say, this is from you? Oh, thanks. And that's the sound of eating.
Yes, do you have to say thank you before the enjoyment, or can you thank him for the enjoyment that you had already? Thank you for the chocolate. It was delicious.
But then anybody can fucking claim that they gave you that chocolate.
You have to ask them to describe it.
Describe the chocolate bar that was left on my desk, please. Nope, wasn't you. Why did you even try and do that? That's weird.
Why did you even playing along?
Caramel.
What are you getting out of this?
There was caramel in the pistachio shells. Like, stop it. No. Just say you didn't give it to me.
Maybe they're thinking that you found a golden ticket in there, and they want to get their cut of the winnings.
They want to be your Grandpa Jerry that comes along with you.
Sorry, Grandpa Jerry?
Yeah.
Pardon?
And his wife, Grandma Geraldine.
I'm pretty sure it's Grandpa Joe, but thank you so much for playing along.
Grandpa Joe is a joiner, and he fucking pisses me off every time I watch that movie.
He is fully he fully does sort of just hop on to Charlie's bandwagon, right? There's very little discussion.
And he starts singing a song about how he's got a golden ticket.
No, you don't. You're illegitimate grandson.
How a P.S. Super duper triple cool that you've been faking being a paraplegic for like a decade, and then you the wafting of chocolate like their aroma was that what we're tickles your nostrils.
Is that what we're supposed to see? I thought it was just that their family was so poor
they couldn't afford to walk.
That they just there was no reason to. Why the fuck would I?
Where am I gonna go? Honestly,
he was impoverished into immobility.
Well, here's the other thing, too, is, like, Charlie gets the golden ticket, and he's like, Grandpa Joe, go with me. Hey, dude, you got three other grandparents just, like, chilling literally 2 feet away. And you're like, fuck you.
Cool.
How about your mom's? Like, it doesn't seem like things are super cool for her. And she's been working really hard to feed you and your 80 grandparents. And also, she hasn't been faking being paralyzed, so maybe like she could use a break today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, she'd love to go.
This is weird. I wouldn't eat this.
Was he just lying in his mess? Lying in his mess.
You don't see that. You can actually.
No, what they don't show. What they don't show is that it's just like a weird orgy between the four grandparents in that bed.
It.
They're just going to town.
Just wailing on each other. They're so poor. What else are they going to do for enjoyment?
That's the thing, though. At night, it's like old person Toy Story. The lights go off. The parents leave the room. Charlie goes to bed. The grown-ups just wake up and start walking around like, oh, I love walking. Mm. It's so hard to pretend.
Would you eat chocolate that you didn't know? Fuck that. Would you eat a food that you didn't know the source for?
This has actually happened to me. This has happened to me before because I work, you know.
Imagine my surprise.
Because I work in a sort of office, and when we open a show, everybody does, like, you know, occasionally, like, thank you things, like a note, or, you know, there's something where, like, the director for, like, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead because it's about flipping coins. Jeremy Dubin, the director, bought everybody, like, chocolate coins, right? But occasionally people do that. Yep. Everybody just assumes that you will know it's from them. And people will just, like, leave stuff on the desk, and then it becomes this awful, like, hunt of, like, did you do this? Did you do this? I mean, I appreciate it. I know my tone of voice does not convey that.
Did you do this?
Did you leave this? Did you do this?
How could you do that?
Did you fuck my wife?
That's not a very good opening night present, I would say. I would rather have the chocolate coins, I think.
Yeah, if we're voting.
If we're voting, which I guess we're not. Y'all want a Yahoo?
Please, yes.
This Yahoo is sent in by Adam Doyle. Thank you, Adam. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Man, fucking Yahoo done updated their shit, and now I can't see who the Yahoo Answers user is. Quit fucking updating your end user experience, Yahoo.
Hey, Yahoo, while we're on the subject of Yahoo Answers, if everybody could just stop using Yahoo Answers as a source of comedy, that would be, like, super great.
Who's up on it?
This week, The Tonight Show got up on it this time. They had Audra McDonald sing Yahoo Answers. And Midnight's been up on it, too. And it's just like, if everybody could just chill on
that. Nah, listen, we can't fucking...
Till we're dead.
We can't rein
no,
this
midnight,
in.
Midnight, fair trade.
Listen, that first step that we published, and I don't like tooting our own horn, but here it goes. That was the Gutenberg Bible of comedy.
Fair. That's fair.
That first step where I was like, hey, you know what might be fun? Let's look at Yahoo Answers and see if there's anything cool going on in there. Little did I know, I was changing the fucking course of history.
That's why Sid Caesar died, because he didn't think of it.
No, that's why he died, because he was willing to pass the torch. He said, like, finally, well,
there's a new comedy king. And also, Midnight, if you want to keep using Yahoo Answers, if you could just have us on your show, there's like a three-person thing going on there, like a vibe there where three people compete. Like, that would be super great if you could just get us on there. If everybody could just tell.
People have been doing the Lord's work already.
And at Midnight, like, yeah, you guys have been really trying to get us on there. And, like, we would be so happy to, like, with just the merest of travel considerations on their end, just, like, totally get out there.
Let's not go crazy. We're going to need some per diem.
If I could get some per diem guarantees, like, I would just love to get out there. Get some sun.
Okay, so I dug through this inscrutable new Yahoo user interface. Ugh. They got, like, a new logo. It looks like a 7. What the fuck are you guys doing? Anyway, it's asked by Yahoo Answers user Strawberry, who asks, I am too slow at work. How do I move my hands faster? Fast food Wendy's.
What?
So this is my first job, and it's only my fourth day. Yet I got told I have to be faster. But sadly, that's as fast as I can go since I have never worked. So I was wondering, is there something I can do to move faster? Hamburger, fry and fire, nugget lines. Sometimes I have to go to the BK to restock. I guess that means back, and not that this person scoots to Burger King to get
the Wendy's supplies.
They've
blown the lid off
reveal.
This whole conspiracy.
So please help me, like advice on how to move faster. Update 1, I was told to go faster too. Update 2, like I got in trouble because I was going slow.
I think it was Malcolm Gladwell who said that when you work at the Wendy's, you got to put in 10,000 hours before uh-huh. you're an expert at it. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to work there for like 10 years before you move any faster than you do now.
That is what 10,000 hours works out to. I just thought about spending 10,000 hours at a Wendy's and it bummed me out.
I think that I'm kind of impressed by anybody that gets really good at anything. If you work 10,000 hours at Wendy's and you turn into like the best Wendy's, like if you're like the best person to work the fryer, and I'm always impressed. I don't care what it is you do. I don't think we have enough value on work in this country. I am impressed by you, guy who fries the fries better than anybody else, because once you get to be an expert, I'm always impressed.
But
it doesn't matter what it is.
Here's my question. Going along those lines, wouldn't you agree then that there are certain people that have a natural proclivity towards the fryer and some don't? So maybe this gentleman or woman asking this question can only move this fast because they are not one who was born to fry.
I think that with repetition, anybody could get good at it. I'm saying that some people are going to come out of the you are going to have that wunderkind.
You're sitting
right. You're going to have that one who just dips the fries in, takes it out, and the other employees like have gathered into a semicircle, just watching with mouths agape, like the perfect crisp. He did it.
You're creating like a Jiro Dreams of Frosties scenario where right, somebody spends exactly. their whole life mastering their craft. Is it a particularly fancy craft? Absolutely not. Absolutely it is not.
I don't know. If you could make me perfect fries and chicken nugs every time, it's pretty great. Mm-hmm. That's pretty fancy.
I get what this person's saying, too, about, like, have you guys ever worked a job where, like, your success at the end of the day is determined by how much product you managed to process in some way, and then that number was, like quantitatively compared against your peers, because
like how many dog buttholes I could squeeze when I worked at the kennel.
You're goofing, but yes, that's when I worked for Justin's father-in-law at a file scanning company. There was a fucking leaderboard at the end of the day that would measure how many documents you had scanned, turning them into digidocs. And I thought I was hot shit. Just because I would put on my headphones and just like go. And then at the end of the day, it was like a quarter of what the people who were the pros, the vets, the numbers that they were turning in, did not last super long at that job.
Yeah, could not hang.
Did not hold that one down an especially long time.
Do you guys think if you need to physically do something faster, does it make more sense to start slow and then, like, just get the muscle memory, or to just push yourself to be faster and, like, correct whatever errors you have on the back end?
In movies, you always see, like, when someone gains super speed or something, that they always, like, do the first thing and then the second thing, and then it's a little bit faster, and then suddenly they're just flying through it. So I guess that way.
Like in movies.
Like in movies. Get struck by lightning.
On Arrow, when Arrow gets good at arrows, the first thing he does is that he has to smack water.
Wait, slow down, Justin. I'm writing this down.
Okay, he has to smack water uh-huh. with the palm of his hand over and over again, right?
Because he's been a bad boy?
No, because it's like the first step in becoming an arrow.
Man, can you imagine if he just like could not get good at Arrows, what they would have had to change the title of the show to. Water Slapper. Well, do you watch Water Slap? Yeah, I fucking love that show.
I understand that might be the first part of his training, but I don't understand why I have to watch it. I've been watching this show for a year and a half. He's just slapping water. Just give him On Arrow with Abo. See how his progress. How can you rate the efficacy of the water slap training technique if every once in a while you don't toss him a bow and just
that's
like...
That's not even one-to-one in terms of like physical motion. There's no fucking drawstring on water.
It's all about the control of arrows.
Wait, are the arrows made of water? I zoned out.
The water arrows.
Oh, he's a waterbender.
The worst part of it is, then he takes on a little trainee there.
Who's made of water.
He takes on a trainee, and he's like, I'm going to teach you to control your power. And I heard that. I was like, oh, no. I know it's coming. I'm going to have to watch this fool slap water.
Did he?
Please, someone talk. There's got to be a beast story in this episode, something.
The writers of that show are just, like, fucking coasting.
They were so stupid.
How's your job? It's the fucking sweetest writing job ever.
Let me just walk you through our script creation procedure for next week's episode.
Slash, 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 slash.
Type slaps water, copy, paste, done. Mojitos.
Emmy.
Don't mind if I do. An Oscar? Unprecedented.
Oh, Arrow. You're not a good show, I bet.
Nah, it's a great show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of year again, as we mentioned earlier in the program. It's Max Fun Drive. Pretty exciting time of year for us. It's sort of like our sweeps week, if you will, where we come to you. If you don't know already, Maximum Fun is a listener-supported network, which means that we rely on you, the people who dig our episodes and our product, if you will, to fund our show, which means that we need you to kick in a few bucks to help keep things going. It helps us pay for equipment, helps us pay producers, it helps us pay for our networking, and it help our
networking? Networking,
you know, our hosting,
our elbow hosting. Rubbing, our name dropping,
and we need you to help us pay for that because we don't have enough money.
No.
Justin, may I interrupt?
What?
It's never stopped you before.
I actually wrote a little thank you that I would like to read.
Oh,
wonderful. Oh, boy.
Okay. I wanted to take a boisterous moment to undulate everyone without pontificating from carbuncles and kangaroos like you, we wouldn't be here. You are all super moist. If you are not a Max Fun donor, don't fluff or nutter. It's not too late. You just have to go to MaximumFun.org/donate and jelly which level of jorts you want to donate.
Oh, God.
For $5 lascivious dollars a month, you could support the show and you get all the bonus
content.
I'm going
to tear my own head off.
For 10 alpacas a month,
you
get the bonus content and a recumbent 18-month cat-themed Max Fun calendar. For 20 snapdragons a month, you get the boners content, the calendar, and the Max Fun Morning Essentials kit, which includes unrequited Tonks coffee and the Cumberbatch stack soap. So go to MaximumFun.org/donate and check it out. Namaste again, all you lovely Wittershins.
Listen, if you want me to be able to pay to have someone kill Travis, I'm going to need you to go to MaximumFun.org/donate right now. And I can't believe you.
I can't fucking believe you.
Sad lib.
I know. I can't fucking believe us that you didn't see that shit coming.
It was like we walked right into it too. We were like, "All right, this way, sir. Welcome, welcome to our podcast. We've prepared a table just for you
for your shitty shit." we've grown a lot this past year. Like we really need to figure out exactly how many podcasts have been added, but I mean, it was this past January we added 4 new shows, like The Goose Down and Oh No Ross and Carrie and Lady to Lady and Song Exploder, and got a new host up on International Waters. And then in the months preceding that, we had we had Sawbones join it. That hit program.
And then Sydney got pregnant.
Justin and Sydney got pregnant. And I'm not saying that was exactly because of your donations, but it probably was.
But it's an investment because 20 years from now, that kid will have a show and you'll love it.
Yep. Wham Bam Pow was added this past year.
I'm getting that kid's podcast as soon as he can talk. As soon as the vocal cords have formed, he or she, well, it's she, will be podcasting. Travis sort of brutalized this list, but I'll give you like an English version for $5. If you can pledge us $5 a month, you're going to get an insane amount of bonus content. That's episodes from every Max Fun show and all the years prior, which means that if you give $5 a month, you're going to get the ticket to 44 hours, over 44 hours of bonus
content. I mean, think about this way. $5 a month, that's like, for those that play video games, that's $60. That's like a brand new video game, and you could pay to get $44 of content.
So basically, $44 of content?
Yeah.
$60 for $44 of content is not very
good. It doesn't seem like a good deal.
If you can give us $10 a month, you're going to get all the bonus content. These stacks, you get everything prior, right, with each level. But for $10 a month, you're going to get an 18-month Mini Max Fun calendar where we're all cats. Okay? Yes. Thank you. I will take it. At $20 a month, you're going to get the cat calendar, you're going to get the bonus content, and you're going to be part of the Diamond Friendship Circle and get the Max Fun Morning Essentials Kit, which includes a lovely blue Max Fun Rocket mug. Half a bag of delicious Tonks coffee. Thank you to Tonks for helping us support our shows. And a bar of my brother, me favorite, Stack Soap. Get yourself clean with Stack Soap. It's soap that where you take the stupid sliver after you've worn it down and you slide it right into the divot there. It's got a divot for your sliver, a sliver divot. At $35 a month, you'll be part of Judge John Hodgman's Justice Squad, and you'll get all that stuff plus a pair of Rocket engraved highball glasses with the Max Fun logo on those, and they're lovely.
It's like,
they're gonna be a great match. If you already got the rocks glasses like I have, I'm gonna need these new ones.
We're shooting for 1500 new or upgraded donors. If you're currently a donor, thank you so much, that's awesome. If you want to kick up your donation, you can get the gifts this year to whatever level you jump up to, and you also help us count towards our total. I think last we heard, we just passed 1,000.
That was like on Friday.
Yeah, so. And we're making pretty good time. There's also challenge donors. For each new donor we get, they donate like a certain amount. So your donation sort of counts double. So that's great.
Let me throw this out, because this is what happened to me. If your credit card information has changed in the last year and you think that you're a Max Fund donor, but you haven't updated that payment information, double check and make sure, because I've seen a couple people post on Twitter that they hadn't realized that they weren't supporting it anymore, and so now they've gone back and changed their information and fixed it. So just double check and make sure, and this is a great time of the year to fix that problem.
Awesome. So again, that link is MaximumFund.org/donate. Go there right now. Please help us to keep Max Fund growing. If you love the stuff that we make, pay for the stuff you love, and I guarantee there's no better feeling. I'm a donor, and I would recommend everybody do the same, because you'll feel really good, and you'll help us make more awesome stuff.
And make sure to tweet about it so we can thank you.
Yeah, but if you haven't already, tweet about it. How your donation is spent depends on what shows you listen to and love on the network. So pay attention when you're filling that part out. Make sure you tell them what shows that you like, whether that's Sawbones or My Brother, Me.
Or that's it, just those two.
That's it, just those two. One of those two and no other shows, basically.
Just one of those.
I'm kidding, of course.
One of those two, maybe the one that you are listening to, like, now. Just like
now?
You're already listening to it, so like.
So, no. Tell them you listen to whatever shows you listen to, because we need to know who. You know, how you guys are loving us. In what way you're loving us.
Fungibly.
Fungibly speaking. Anyway, MaximumFun.org/donate. That is the end. Here's another question. My brother and I... Whoa.
Nope.
No. Incorrect. My husband and I have a toddler.
Yeah.
Hachi.
My brother and me have a toddler together. Is that...
We just found it.
Should we start a podcast? And we occasionally like to go out on date nights while she is asleep. We pay a longtime friend and neighbor to basically just watch TV on our couch while the baby sleeps. The problem is, when we get home, we are generally feeling ready to settle in for the night, and the babysitter's ready to chat for...
You left out the winky emoticon in there, which implies that they come home from this date ready to shag, baby.
Yeah. We are in a bind because we don't trust any people to stay with the baby, and we need to get out occasionally. Any advice for how to encourage her speedy departure upon our return? And that's from trying to avoid lingering in Los Angeles.
I'm going to throw something out that both of you are going to cringe at.
Okay. Oh,
you got to tell her that you want a bone.
Yeah. When you said you're both going to cringe at, you're talking about me and Justin, right? Because I definitely winced.
Yes. But I think the idea is, like, if she's a longtime friend and, like, you guys have anything more than a passing acquaintance, not when you get home, but probably I'm like, yeah, we're going on the date night. And then, God, it hurts to say, but, like, you got to bite the bullet and be like, and then we're hoping to come home and have some alone time and then, like, make it
don't
clear
say that have some alone time.
Deal. What?
Don't say have some alone time is grosser. It's like that Patton Oswalt bit on Clean Filth. Like, that's grosser than, like, we are
so
going to
come
fuck
home
each
and engage
other.
In coitus.
This is all
lay
worst.
With one another in the marital bed.
Oh God, sloppy joes.
So we're gonna make some sloppy joes.
Unless your husband's name is Joe, that doesn't work.
I think that okay. So I'm as an introvert, I've become kind of an expert at getting people to leave. And one of the things you could do is pay
turn
attention
the lights
to
off.
Your turn the lights off. No, one of the things you can do is pay attention to your body language, okay? Here's step one. Do not sit down.
Nope.
If you sit down, that says, let's chat. Don't take your coat off, okay? That says, get comfortable with me. Three, don't close the door. When you walk in, leave the door open and then hold it open with your hand and then every few seconds go,
Wave a candy bar in front of the door and then throw it outside and hope they follow.
I don't have a lot of friends, but... anymore. But I think that those are three great steps that you can take.
How do you get anyone to leave your abode under any circumstance? This is what freaks me out. Like, when I have friends over and it's like, I am just, like, so ready to chill. I'm incapable of letting them know that. So when I think about if I had a dangerous intruder in my house... My ability to repel somebody doesn't owe me anything is not my bud. My ability to repel them from my domicile, it terrifies me. Because what do you do? Please, sir, I'm trying to have sex over here. Can you please excuse yourself from the premises?
Wait. Are you paying this person to do this?
Yes.
Great, then that's it. You got to come in like money in hand, ready to go.
Transaction complete.
I mean, that's what you're saying with that hint. Because the thing is, if you're waiting for her to get up and leave and walk to the door, and then you're paying her, think of it like Pavlov's dog. That like you need to condition her that as soon as you get in, the transaction's done.
Okay, wait. I solved this problem. I solved it. You guys ready for the solution?
Yeah.
I solved it. Okay. I went into my mind palace, and then I solved it, okay? Okay, here we go. You're husband and wife. This is from the wife. Okay, so I'm talking to you now, question asker, directly. Unless it's also a guy. I don't know. Question asker. You go to the door, okay? You open the door. Your husband runs through the door and holding his stomach, shouting, oh, diarrhea, diarrhea, it's so bad, and then runs towards the toilet. Then you come in sheepishly like, what can you do? And then you say, I better check on him. Let me get your money real quick. Throw him the $20. Okay.
Can I
check on the diarrhea?
Can I tell you the issue with your diarrhea escape
clause? It's almost too good.
Yeah, no, it is. Oh, Justin. Oh, it's so good. One issue. You can do this once, and then you can maybe do it twice. And then the third time you do it, the person is going to think
have
you have
gotten
dysentery.
Him checked out?
Say he's deathly allergic to shellfish, and he can't.
He can't. Listen, it's fucking Lobster Fest. What do you want him to do? It's Lobster Fest. You want him to not celebrate Lobster Fest, heathen?
Why do you guys keep going to Inattentive Jay's taco stand?
You know he doesn't pay attention.
You guys want Yahoo?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So Yahoo was sent in by James Walsh. It is by Yahoo Answers user John Samuel. S-A-M-E-U-L. They have to have spelled that wrong, right?
I'm hoping.
Thank you, James. It's by Yahoo. I already did that. John Samuel asks, can ghosts hurt dogs?
Good question.
Can ghosts hurt dogs? Please explain. Every Yahoo answer should end with, please explain.
We can all agree that dogs can sense ghosts, right?
Let's, I guess, just cover our bases before we get started. Are ghosts real? Yes.
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 Are dogs real?
In the right light.
I watched Cosmos, and as it turns out, dogs are just shitty wolves.
Hey, mm-hmm. Cosmos, can we talk about you for like a second, just real quick, and then we'll get right back to the advice. I watched that episode, and it talked about how animals reproduce, and then who's that dude?
Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Neil deGrasse Tyson hopped in his fucking magic razor ship, and then he flew into a bear's fallopian tubes and ovaries and shit and just, like, cruised around in his razor ship.
I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm cruising through a bear's fallopian tubes.
I'm going on a fucking magic school bus adventure inside.
It sounds like an episode that we would, like, make up. Like,
and nope.
Then Neil deGrasse
Tyson. And then Neil deGrasse Tyson just, like, cruises into a bear pussy.
No, that happened. Definitely did happen on Cosmos. I'm not going to lie, I did learn a lot while I was inside that bear pussy. Thank you, Neil. I'm not sure why, like, the name of the show is Cosmos, not Ursine Vagina. So I guess I'm a little bit confused on why you took this fucking detour. I guess you did cover all of space, the infinite expanse of the universe in the first three eps.
It was rough for me because I got distracted when he was introducing that segment, and all I knew was inside a uterus, and then when I found out it was a bear, I felt really sheepish for getting so turned off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that bit opens up with him talking about how dogs came from wolves, and he's talking about that by a campfire, and a wolf attacks him, and he has to fight him off with a fiery log. Cosmos, you have lost the plot, my friend. You have cruised off the fucking rails. Course correct. Look up. There's infinity space. I can check it. I can scope a bear pussy whenever I want on the internet. Tell me about the orbs. God damn.
I know what you're probably wanting is to take an imaginary journey to the center of Venus. But instead, let's go dig on that sheep's pussy.
On the next episode, we're going to go check out a sheep pussy. This is Cosmos.
Can we just go to space, Neil? Neil, can we go to space?
You know sheep pussies...
Neil secretly punishing everyone?
You know sheep pussies in the spiral galaxy have a lot in common. They don't have anything in common. Take me to space. Get me out of this pussy, Neil.
You have an infinitely powerful starship called Imagination, and you're using the power of imagination to climb inside vaginas. Can we just go to space once? You know, there's a lot out there, probably. We don't really know. We're making all this up. You know what I know? Stone cold goat pussy. Let's go. Let's jet. Can I not jet? Can
I stay here? I don't want to hop in your ship, but your ship can travel through the fucking imagisphere. And I don't want to get in it because I know where that road ends.
I promise this time. What if he took you in? You're looking around, like, I'm not going to tell you where we're going, but I promise it's cool. And you're looking around like, I don't know. Can you look at all this plasma? We're surrounded by the plasma.
Are we inside
of
a star? Is this Beetlejuice? This is incredible. I never thought I would go to Alpha Centauri.
A Wolverine's pussy.
Oh, God. You got me.
Got you again.
Neil deGrasse. Why do I keep getting your dumb ship?
I've never watched this show, but you guys have sold me.
Yeah, it's really good. Can ghosts hurt dogs, though?
No, really.
Nah, but for real, though, can ghosts hurt dogs?
Nah, but really. Can ghosts hurt dogs?
I feel like there'd be more beef between ghosts and cats.
Why do you think
and
that?
And I say that not as a joke. I think that's a legitimate belief
they
that
They seem
I have.
Like they would be more sensitive to spectral presences.
It also seems like cats would be less cool with having them around. Like, cats would be like, get the fuck out. Where dogs would be like, okay, cool, this is all right.
All right, I'm spooked. Later.
Got me again, ghost.
I'm going to go
see you
now.
In the next room.
I got some good Yahoo responses to this.
Please.
Princess says, no, a ghost cannot hurt you, nor can it speak to you, nor does it even know who that you are there. A ghost is just a person's energy that's left behind when they die. A spirit...
Hey, princess, a dog isn't asking this question.
A spirit, on the other hand, is deferent. A spirit is a soul that is left behind. Spirits can do all of those things if they are strong enough, so no ghost cannot, but spirit sure can. It's been a while since we've addressed how Yahoo Answers users sort of classify the undead.
Right. There's spooks, there's ghosts.
Specters.
Specters.
Phantasmagorias.
Spirits. If ghosts aren't real, why do we have so many words for them?
Haven't thought about that, huh?
Makes you wonder, doesn't it, Illuminati?
Ghosts can apparently... I'm just gonna fucking summarize some of this crazy bullshit. Ghosts can't hurt the dogs, but they can scare the dogs into hurting themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a common bane.
They'll scare them.
They can also ruin the dog's credit.
Like, they'll ruin the dog's street rep?
No, like, they get a credit card in the dog's name, they max it out.
Oh, okay.
Yahoo Answers user Europa...
I'm sorry, Rex. It says here,
I would love to give you this.
It says here, you're like 5'14".
Europa Objective says... There's no such thing as ghosts.
Whew.
All right. Good answer. Oh, wait. Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. There's more. They're demons, fallen angels sent by Satan and given figures of someone who once walked on earth, thereby confusing the people into thinking God does not exist because this person isn't in heaven or hell. He is on earth. Do not be deceived. To answer your question, physically, no, although they can sometimes pose as dogs and then hurt themselves. So a different way that ghosts can... make a dog hurt himself.
Okay, so just to be clear, ghosts are a shell game invented by Satan.
Yeah.
Is that... Uh-huh. That's the point.
It's a fallen demon or angel. Okay. I guess a risen demon? Yeah, and then they take the form of a ghost, and people see a ghost and goes, well, like, if he's not in heaven or hell, I guess God doesn't exist. And then Satan's like, yes!
Here's the question that I keep coming back to in this whole situation. I don't think the question is whether or not a ghost can hurt a dog. Why would they? What's their end game in this?
Maybe the dog's being a dick and like barking while we're trying to record an episode.
Oh, I see. He's coming back at my dog, eh?
One more Yahoo Answers user Garrett says, they can scare them and make them hurt yourself. Keep a cat. The cat will absorb the ghosties.
Okay.
That's true. It's like baking soda.
They have to snort them, though. I just did a line of ghosts, man. I'm tweaking. Tweaking.
Remember, if you hear your cat sniff, that's a ghost disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
I am still having... Okay, I'm going to circle back. I'm still having trouble with this idea that Satan is is making ghosts to make people think God as it is. I have a question for you, atheists. Atheist friends, I know there are many of you that enjoy this program. If you see a fucking ghost, is that going to reaffirm your belief? Like, are you going to be like, I knew it. I knew it all along.
Didn't I tell you?
Are there a contingent of people that are like, God is not real, ghosts are?
Ghosts definitely are. And that's...
I do not believe in the soul unless...
I mean, it's not a soul, though, is it, Travis? It's a fallen angel slash demon.
We'll see, but that's what I think. What you're supposed to assume is that, you know, the atheist sees the ghost and goes, "Ah, a soul not in heaven. I knew it.
I knew it.
I knew that souls and all that were legit. I just knew that there wasn't a god that was like.
There's not like a place for those souls to just hang out and do whatever.
But here's the thing: the logic of that is like saying. Kids belong in Disneyland. If I see a kid not in Disneyland, it means Disneyland does not exist.
Whoa. It's exactly like that. You're right, Travis.
So why couldn't there be a ghost that's just not in heaven?
Guys, do you realize that the three of us are becoming Yahoo Answers? This conversation that we're having is Yahoo Answers. We have created a physical form of Yahoo Answers, the three of us.
Winter Yahoo Answers. We have become that which we most loathe.
I fear the day when we cross the line and start, like, commenting back on these questions. And we're like, well, hold on. Let me hop on here real quick.
Yeah, let me just answer this one. We don't have any Yahoo Answers because we actually answered them all because we're basically experts.
We solved them.
We solved all the problems.
We fixed Yahoo Answers.
I just started a new job, and I love it. It's in a small office, and I can already tell that I will soon become quite close with my coworkers. Here's the problem. I'm getting married in September. Normally, we wouldn't consider inviting people I met only a few weeks ago. But by the time the wedding comes around, I will have spent quite a lot of time with my coworkers, and I worry they'll be offended if the nuptials come and go without me asking them to join us. Should I invite them and add to an already bloated guest list or risk becoming the office pariah? That's from Nervous in Nashville. I mean, you have a fine excuse.
Yeah.
You obviously have to plan these things quite a while in advance.
This is one of those questions where, like, there's two different – it's, like, the real situation and the perceived situation. The real situation is you are perfectly fine to not invite them because, you know, you say that the guest list is full, you did it a long time in advance, whatever, right? But then the perceived situation is always going to be that you snubbed them.
I feel like that slight is almost always perceived because, like, I do not think I have ever – not been invited to a wedding, and I was like, oh, for real? Oh, okay. I guess I just assumed.
Well, because the benefit here is that what you get is, like, when you get closer to the date, if you have become super close with, like, six or seven of your coworkers, you've gotten the RSVP backs, and you know there's going to be open spots, then you are like, hey, I'm getting married in a month. Do you guys want to come?
Yeah, if you think about the solution that you're sort of conceiving for this problem, it's to go to people you barely know and say, hey, listen, I can tell there's something really special. I know we've only just met, but I can just sense. Can you feel it? The person's going to stare at you dead-eyed and just wait for you to leave the room so they can call the cops.
I'm going to give you what I'm calling a preliminary invite. And this is going to be a very special kind of wedding invitation that I can either activate or revoke in 4 months' time.
I will RSVP to you whether or not you're allowed to come.
I will hand you a rose.
I'm telling you, you've made the first wave. You've made it through the wedding invitation primaries with flying colors because you seem super cool. You gave me that small bag of Fritos that you got from Subway that you did not want to eat. And that planted a seed in my mind that I want you to share the most special day in my life with you. Maybe. Let's see where we are 4 months down the line. I will send the activation code to your RSVP.
What you'll want to do is scratch off below the foil here, and you're going to find a 38-digit confirmation code.
I'm going to need you to put that into the internet. Every single day, I need you to put that 38-digit code into the internet, and if you miss a day, unfortunately, the invitation will be canceled immediately, and this will be my test to see if you actually do want to come.
Now, the other thing I do have to make you aware of is that every time you apply this confirmation code, you're going to need 100 Pepsi points. And you can find those just on the labels of 20-ounce to 2-liter Pepsi products.
From
1996. And you can
hopefully you save those cubes.
Yeah.
There are also on this bespoke temporary wedding invitation webpage that I made for you to input all of this metadata, there are 14 CAPTCHA codes that I'm going to need you to complete every time. And it's a very special kind of CAPTCHA that is terrible and nearly unreadable.
I just need to know that you're okay. So what I need you to do is I need you to find a really old Bible, all right, and then turn, and this is something of a codex. I need you to solve the Da Vinci Code. basically.
I need you to steal the Declaration of Independence. On the back is your wedding invitation.
I need you to fly to space and blow up the asteroid that's hurtling towards Earth with a band of your fellow oil drillers.
I need you to help Harry meet Sally. We're just naming movies, I thought. Listen, we're not going to make you jump through hoops like that to donate to our program. It's easy. You're just going to go to MaximumFun.org/donate, and you'll just pledge some money, and it'll be fantastic. We told you about the lower levels. There are two higher levels you can get to. If you really want to buy our love, you can pledge $100 a month. You're going to be one of Jesse's Golden Eagles. You're going to get membership in the Inner Circle, which is our monthly culture club. It's where a host on our network picks a gift that they love, and they send it to you once a month. Like, that's really neat. For $200 a month, you're going to be one of Jordan's Platinum Angels. You'll get free registration on the Atlantic Ocean and Comedy. Well, sorry, the Atlantic Ocean Comedy and Music Festival at boatparty.biz, which is amazing.
It's pretty good. There's some really good shit there this year. I definitely want to go to that, but I'm afraid of the Atlantic Ocean.
Fair. The thing about it is, these are just ways that we say thank you. What you're really doing is helping to fill the world with stuff that you enjoy. You know, you didn't know that you loved our program, or at least liked our program, you know, 4 years ago. But because of donors to the Maximum Fun Network, they were able to add our program. Because you enjoyed our program and you donate, some people donated because they liked our show. Then we're able to add other shows like Throwing Shade, and fans of those shows allowed us to add Sawbones. What I'm saying is, you don't know the next great show. You don't know the next thing you're going to love because you haven't donated yet. You could be on the ground floor. You could be the ones that help us find that show and add it to our network and help make other great shows get made.
If you also think about like how much time you've spent listening to the shows on this network and how much time you spend like on a fucking weekly basis, I've run out of time in my week to like fit all of these programs in. I listen to, no joke, like 4 or 5 Max Fun shows every single week. And when you think about like how much time you spent listening to us or other shows, I don't know. I think as a value proposition, I know it's kind of a weird way to think about that, but I think it's worth a little bit of scratch. If it, you know, compared to stuff like, you know, Netflix or your cable subscription, like, I don't know. I listen to way more podcasts than I watch episodes of Orange Is the New Black on Netflix, for instance.
Are there any other shows that you...
No, just that one. Yeah,
just the one.
I love that Laura Prepon.
She's
America's Treasure.
America's Treasure, Laura Prepon.
Again,
sometimes I like to drive up beside people and roll down my window and ask them if they have any Laura
Poupon. We got it.
No, he was making a great Poupon joke.
Let me try one more time.
Yeah, one more time.
Sometimes I like to roll down the window and ask them if they have any Laura Poupon.
One more time.
It's out of the mustard.
Yeah, one more time.
It comes in a jar. One more time. $5 a month, 44.
I thought you were asking Travis to make his great, great Laura Poupon joke.
I can.
One more time.
Sometimes I like to roll down the window and ask them if they have any Laura Poupon.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka.
I can't stop this. $5 a month, you're going to get 44 hours of exclusive bonus content just like this. For $10 a month, you'll get that beautiful 18-month calendar where we're all kitties. For $20 a month, Diamond Friendship Circle, you're going to get the Morning Essentials Kit with that great Tonks coffee, some Stack soap to help get your day going right, and a beautiful cobalt blue coffee mug. And at $35 a month, that's really not that much if you think about it. It's not a ton, but you're going to get all this great stuff and two... rocket-engraved highball glasses.
Two rocket glaives. They're two rocket amazing like weapons.
Movie crawl. Anyway, we have MaximumFun.org/donate. If you haven't given yet, please go do that. While you're doing that, we have a very special treat for you that's kind of weird that it even exists. Our guest expert this week on the program is Lin-Manuel Miranda, who you might know from his appearances on shows like How I Met Your Mother, his Tony and Grammy award-winning musical In the Heights, his upcoming musical Hamilton, or many other projects that, I mean, he's helped write for everybody on Earth. He's written every song that's ever been.
Ever.
That's ever been or will be. And he listens to our show, which is crazy. That's a crazy thing that is true. And almost on a dare, he has written a version of Fugue for Ten Horns, which is a song from Guys and Dolls. But he wrote it about our show, and then we recorded it. So it's a song by a person who's won a Tony and a Grammy for songs. And
you're welcome.
You're welcome. And he wrote it for us, and you're going to get to enjoy it right now.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and he's the ghost of the horse that won last year. Ghost horse, ghost horse, there's no way to beat ghost horse. He flies through the air, of course. Ghost horse, ghost horse, ghost horse, ghost horse. There's no way to beat ghost horse.
His owner puts no red horse by half. He's got no arms, legs, or face, and he makes me laugh.
The poor spear just might give you a vampire bite. Of course, it all depends if he feeds at night.
It's like blood, it's like blood.
This vampire horse likes blood.
And just yes, a man is sweet. He's got likes the raps blood. And beats. He likes Billy in the streets. Likes and a blood. In the sheets.
I tell you, Paul Revere, now this snowbump steer. It's from the yard who had horse real sincere.
Ghost horse, he's got ghost horse.
There's no way to beat ghost horse.
So make it up in tap. He's got a horse by half. And he communicates with telegraph.
Got the horse right here.
What an honor and a pleasure it is to welcome our second guest to the show. Third, if you count our dad, I guess.
What the fuck is that dude good at?
What is he really? Raising heroes?
I guess.
We want to welcome Lin-Manuel Miranda. Lin is a, where to start? A Tony Award winner, a composer, a friend, if I may be so bold.
You are so bold and so right.
He was on How I Met Your Mother.
He rapped in Marshall's face and made me the happiest I've ever been.
Yeah, it was like the best. It was the best because I had just seen Lin in New York like a couple weeks before that, and it was probably the most famous I've ever felt. But anyway, welcome to the show, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, thank you, fellas. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
That's
very excited to be here.
You understand that's crazy, right?
You're like a real dude.
You're like
in the earth.
You're like I met Tom Selleck once after a performance of A Thousand Clowns. I met him after the show, and he told me apropos of nothing to keep it up. And this is still the coolest person I've ever talked to.
Oh my god, you guys.
So, Lin, you are an expert, if I may be so bold, a guest-pert in musical theater. How did you get your start there? How did that come about?
Oh gosh, I had my parents were cast album collectors. That's like their whole jam. So it was lots of Man of La Mancha. I think you guys went through the same thing because your dad tweeted me pictures of him as Nicely Nicely.
Man, if you want me to drop my Buddy Hackett as Sancho Panza on you, you just say the word.
Jesus Christ, you.
Oh my God.
You have not heard Sancho until you. Justin basically is Sancho IRL.
In one of the great, in perhaps the most representative anecdote of my life, I am basically living day to day as Sancho Panza, and for years my audition jam was "I Don Quixote, Man of La Mancha." It's like the classic sort of self-defeatist approach to getting cast in anything ever.
Good enough for number two.
So who becomes who's your Don Quixote? Is that Griffin or is that Travis?
Well, I was auditioning for the role of Don Quixote, so presumably I need a yet fatter, more...
That's what the world's been waiting to
see. I basically need the subject of a TLC reality show as my Sancho Panza. But, okay, Lynn... your credentials. Sorry, I was letting you continue. I was letting you justify your guestpertness.
I've been writing musicals for a long time. My first musical I wrote in high school. It was a 20-minute musical called Nightmare in D Major. It was very pretentious, uh-huh. And it was about the fetal pig you dissect in AP Bio coming back to haunt you. It was the worst.
Can you sing us any of it now?
I would go see it, man.
I would still watch it.
I don't know if you heard earlier when I said that I watched Tom Selleck in 1,000 Clowns all the way through. Like, I would definitely. My bar is pretty low.
And then you wrote a musical called In the Heights.
Indeed.
Man, I'm glad I didn't mess that up. I had like a moment, I was like, I'm going to say it wrong. Here it comes.
On the flights.
Shit! Damn it!
Blew it. Men in Tights?
Men in Tights. Have you noticed that Men in Tights and Jews in Space from History of the World Part 1 are the exact same melody?
I have noticed that, Lynn.
Oh, no. Yeah. If we get you guys to start on Mel Brooks, we'll never escape from it.
Oh, my God.
And you're working on a new musical, or it's done now? What's the status on Hamilton?
It's going to open next year at the Public, and it's called Hamilton, and it's a hip-hop musical about Alexander Hamilton.
Is that finally? Okay, yes.
Oh, my God. If there was ever a role, is that what Justin McElroy.
Yes. Is that where you just said you're at the Public before we started recording? Are you on the scene right now?
Yeah, I have a deadline on Friday for the producers to bring in new songs, so I was just like, can I have office space so that I'm not just at home? And it changes every day, so I literally walk around the Public in like slippers and pajamas like a crazy person.
Fuck, that's cool, though.
How long until they realize that you're living there?
I brush my teeth a lot. It's very Pursuit of Happiness right now.
You hear that in the rafters? You hear that?
That's the ghost of Joe Papp.
All right, here we go. Questions. We do have questions for you, Lynn, and we're going to give them to you now. Prepare.
All right, I'm ready.
Can I borrow your Tony for a weekend? No questions asked. No questions asked.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Just go ahead and UPS that to me.
Is it kosher to sing musical theater at karaoke? I imagine it's more nuanced than yes, no. What sorts of musical theater work at karaoke? I wonder if it's about some sort of irony, like a step of removal from just belting a ballad. Sometimes Les Mis group numbers have worked well, but like Oklahoma, that seems like bad news. What are your guest's thoughts? And that's from an alto who can't belt for shit.
Wow, Justin, that's really fucking harsh.
That's the self-described as his own moniker, his or her own moniker.
It's probably a her.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Could be a dude alto. Maybe. I don't know.
I think that this is I think it's absolutely acceptable, but as in all karaoke, you gotta read the room. Mm. There's fun meatloaf singing, like Paradise by the Dashboard Light, where everyone can get involved because there's lots of parts for everybody. And then there's like singing Heaven Can Wait really slowly to yourself. Sadly, and everyone's just
but
sad.
Sometimes a crowd wants it. Sometimes a crowd just came there to put some tears in their beers,
and that's when you do true. Summer Lovin'.
Yeah,
that's Summer Lovin's pretty good. Anything from Grease will get everyone involved. If you're doing
well, involved,
you got to do Beauty School Dropout on repeat.
I feel when I hear something from Grease, I do feel emotionally involved, mm-hmm. but not necessarily like a heart pounding, smile generating sort of way.
That's true. If you're doing Soliloquy from Carousel, you fucked up. Yeah. You're doing it wrong.
I want to find out what karaoke bar this person is going to that has Les Mis in the book.
Oh, man.
I feel like since the movie, everyone's got Hathaway Dreams.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I will now be performing Poor Judd is Dead.
Right.
Or like the worst thing is when you get someone, like, you do a thing like, and it's like got too many parts, like you're doing Your Fault from Into the Woods. It's like, look all the parts
yeah,
I can
you
do.
You need nine talented singers. I went to a karaoke place once and I saw Sit Down, You Rock in the Boat in the book. And I was like, this is a jam. This is going to get the people going. Maybe I'll do it so good that the people will do like the Sit Down, You're Rocking. Rocking the boat. And
just move to it.
And I got up there and I grabbed the mic and I took a swig of beer for courage. And then I heard boom, tink, tink, boom, tink, tink, boom, tink, tink.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh no, I just got Don Henley because it was definitely the Don Henley version. It was the hits.
You got Henley Nightmares and Hathaway Dreams.
Exactly. The other thing that can happen with musical theater is the accompaniment could be real shitty.
Oh yeah.
So then you get the like doom ding ding doom ding. Now my selection right. from Floyd Collins won't feel good at all.
Don Henley was exclusively backed up by MIDI files during his solo career. Not a lot of people know that.
I think that the thing that I get stuck on here is the irony, because I feel like the important thing about good karaoke is that at some point, if you're going to sing something that some people might consider an ironic choice, it has to be bolstered by sincerity. You have to make
Justin McElroy story. Literally, yeah. Every jam you've got is delivered with a stoicism that is just like completely inappropriate.
I don't keep Laurie Morgan's Something in Red at arm's length. I love
you. Become
let
Laurie
it
Morgan.
In.
You
I
let it in. You dress yourself in Something in Red. And then you perform
the song. You're the vessel. You're the vessel for that song.
It is important to know, no joke, when I was leaving Huntington and moving to Cincinnati, Justin sang that to me at karaoke, and I believe made his mother-in-law cry.
Mm-hmm. I don't think she, quote-unquote, got it.
She was touched by my performance of a woman struggling to regain her body after the birth of her child. This touched her. I was just a mere conduit for the work of Miss Laurie Morgan. Miss Laurie Morgan.
That reminds me, I was at a wedding once, and the mother-son dance was Helen Reddy's "You and Me Against the World."
Oh boy!
And it was like, oh, she's not ready to let go of him. She's holding him too tight.
That's the most on the nose song choice that you could pick.
Here's another question. Sir, do you have any advice for an actor trying to keep his voice healthy and working on stage? I get so much conflicting information that I'm not sure what is and is not good for my singing. For instance, I have a professor that swears by milk and a voice teacher that says not to touch any dairy near our performance date. What rituals have you done to keep in working order? And that's from Singing the Blues at Swine Palace.
Oh, man. Okay, so everyone will tell you something different. The only things that just are fail-safes are you have to sleep 8 hours a night, and you have to drink, like, so much water, but then find the balance that you're not peeing your pants on stage. When I started doing In the Heights, I had no idea how, like, about nutrition. I used to eat just personal pan pizzas for 3 meals a day. In my head, this was what I knew about nutrition. I was like, oh, it's the exact same size as my stomach.
There's a hole. It fills the hole. It's done.
You turn those little pizzas into Tonys. That's the most incredible alchemical transformation I've ever heard of.
But then off Broadway, I just running on fumes, I would think, I'll have coffee and a muffin, then I'll do a 2.5 hour show. And then I'd go, hey, why is everything gray? And why am I going to fall down dead in front of all these people? So nutrition, like just like getting your food in, like, and having digested like an hour before showtime is clutch, because, you know, I was rapping on stage and I just became like the burping monster. Mm-hmm. If I ate too close to the thing. So that's one of those things you don't think about unless you're doing it. You have to like eat way before and drink lots of water so that you're not going through the things humans go through when you're actually on stage.
You could do what our dad swears by.
What's that?
Hot Dr. Pepper.
Hot Dr. Pepper. That's
hot. No, that's a
like
real thing.
Tea and coffee hot. And he's like, good.
Except
your voice.
Our dad doesn't drink coffee or tea or alcohol. He drinks hot Dr. Pepper because he's a robot sent from the future to kill all of us.
He also used a, you know, maxi pad to...
I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you know that story.
To tend to a wound on his butt.
He's going to hear that and be honored that you know that.
You got your hands full with a lot of projects right now, but would you consider your next project being the story of our dad's maxi pad makeshift survivor bandage?
Yes, I think that's rife to be
not
told.
A lot of meat on those bones. Maybe for like a one-act competition or something.
Absolutely.
Here's the plan. You star in the TV series of it, then we turn it into a movie. All of a sudden, you got the EGOT.
For our dad's lacerated butt cheek.
Although I really feel like that's more of a Randy Quaid.
Sorry, Lynn, listen, I'm sorry to be the one to break this to you. We have to remove you from the project. It's, listen, Randy Quaid just came out and just like fucking knocked it out of the park.
He wrote some songs on spec.
Yeah,
performed them himself.
He was so fucking realistic. I asked him to borrow $20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well,
you know what he did?
Another question.
He cut his own butt cheek open in front of us during the
It was like the scene in Fame. He was just cutting it. Is this what you want?
It is what we wanted.
Oh, God,
I have another question. What would be the worst Hollywood hit to adapt into a musical? I would have said Rocky, but it looks like that's moot. That's from Thomas.
Yeah, it already happened. I think the general rule is it's got to be something that's not dependent on the star. Like, one of the biggest flops of all time was Big, the musical, because, hey, that whole movie is Tom Hanks' face being charming. But
Elvis hung in there.
Yeah, Elvis, that's true. Elvis
that's
hung
I think
in there.
It's a holiday angle, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, it's got like a season to wrap around, and it comes out every Christmas. Like, it kind of wraps around that. But I don't know, when I see a movie adaptation, even some of the best ones, like, I'm just kind of waiting for the scene I like to happen.
Right.
And that becomes, I don't know, that becomes kind of a tough thing. That's why Producers really worked, because that really was like a thing about the theater, whereas Young Frankenstein's a movie genre parody, so you're just waiting for Gene Hackman to show up.
I remember.
Well, I also think that it's it has to do with character thing, and that's the difference between like Elf and Big. Is Elf is the character Buddy the Elf that was played very well. It's like Shrek the musical. You know what I mean? You're going to see Shrek. You're not going to see Tom Hanks in Big. He's not doing a character. He's just being Tom Hanks.
I remember when I went to our local community theater's production of Titanic, the adaptation of the film Titanic. I was just like, where's the jugs just waiting for?
Where's that French girl?
I checked the playbill, just like looking for a clue of where the jugs might be. They weren't there. It was mostly just like singing and some hydraulics.
In case anyone's wondering what the main difference between like having a guest spot and just like recording with my brothers is, earlier, Lin-Manuel said that Gene Hackman was in Young Frankenstein, and I didn't say anything, and I've been sitting on it for the last 5 minutes. I'm sorry. It's Gene Wilder, Lin. It's Gene Wilder.
Oh, man. You just lost a Tony. You got forwarded.
No, dude. Gene Hackman's the blind man in the blind man scene.
Oh, damn it.
Oh my shit. God. Holy shit.
Holy
fucking
shit.
Epic set reversal. Took him.
Set the show on fire.
He came at you with a...
Give me my Tony.
Came at you with a meaty punch
and
you
used his weight
against
it. It's time for me to leave the show,
it.
Lin. Oof. I want you to step up and take my place.
All right. So,
oh my God. I took my headphones off because it got so awkward and then I put them back on just in time.
Oh, fellas.
Fucking A. Man, listen, that's literally the first time in history, not just this podcast, the history of the world, that Travis got schooled on some sort of Mel Brooks movie minutia. Well done.
It was amazing.
Also,
Lynn.
Can I
counter with a musical question? Okay, so there's a musical being made of your life. Who plays you?
Oh, fuck. Between
brothers.
Are you actually asking the three of us, or is this...
I'm actually asking the three of you.
Oh, my God.
I would get Griffin to play me. I mean, he knows me pretty well. I've heard him sing. He does well.
Yeah.
I always thought I was kind of a Peter O'Toole.
Okay.
That's
you can't really.
Yeah. I'm sorry to tell you.
You can't really say that out loud. You know, I get a lot of people who I guess when they see me for the first time or something, they say I look like Elijah Wood, and I don't fucking get it like at all. I think it's literally just like dudes with brown hair and glasses that aren't super tall. Maybe we have the same frame, the same sort of physical. We cast the same silhouette. I don't know how he is as a singer, though. I don't know that I've ever heard him sing.
For a long time, I got Chris Kattan.
Well, yeah, fucking yeah.
Well, yeah, dead ringer. The problem is I've always been compared to people that, like, are older than me. No one says, you look like this 16-year-old kid I know. So can I cast someone who's, like, 15 years my senior to play me?
If the play, if the musical is set 15 years from now, yeah, absolutely.
To you in the future. Yeah. I just wonder how these scribes are going to write so many songs for my musical about looking up low-calorie recipes on the internet and trying to make them. Because that's pretty much what my life is these days.
Okay, here's how I'd cast you, gentlemen.
Yay! Right.
Okay, Justin Peter Gallagher.
I'll fucking it. What? That's bullshit. I wanted Peter Gallagher so bad.
I want to be the Gallagher.
He's favorite living man.
It's me, Justin McElroy. Listen, you'll get him next time. Don't salt Lin-Manuel's game.
Let me give you a schmear. Right.
Okay, Griffin.
Also Peter Gallagher.
Gallagher 2, the Gallagher.
It'll be like that Frankenstein show where they switch roles every night. Justin gets Gallagher Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Well, I would say in keeping with the young brown-haired man with glasses, I would have Daniel Radcliffe play.
Okay.
I'll
tell you that. Excellent choice. Can I tell you a problem, though?
Yeah.
Basically, everyone's seen his dick, haven't they?
Yeah. Oh, my God, I've seen it. I saw it.
I like to – okay, I have a lot of questions. Let me just say, I like to keep my stuff mysterious. So that casting really wouldn't work for me. Let's send it back. Maybe we can get Quaid in the picture. B, how was that dick though? Cause I haven't actually seen it.
It was fine, but here's my counter proposal. Okay. We rewrite Equus the musical. It stars, but the main character's name is Griffin.
Okay.
And he likes to fucking blind horses.
Fantastic.
And that way Daniel Radcliffe's playing.
Here's the other issue though, is that Equus the musical, is basically our podcast for the past 3.5 years. We have to put some music to the words we've been saying, but I think the content's all there.
Who's Travis?
Who's Travis?
Chris Kattan.
yeah, either Chris Kattan or Michael Gambon, and we set it way in the future.
Mm. I love it.
Oh, my God. If there is
I don't
ever...
know why I picked so many British guys for you, but that's just
no,
what
I love that. Michael Gambon plays older Travis. He's looking back at younger Travis, and then I get cast in it. So I can be Tony. I also want a Tony. Let me into your club, Lynn.
If there was ever a movie with Peter Gallagher, Daniel Radcliffe, and Travis McElroy, I would invent a new format that's better than Blu-rays. So I and have that be the only film in the format because that's how I would want to.
That way, you could really clearly see my facial expressions because I had no idea what to do acting with the two of them. Hey, Harry Potter and the dude from the OC. It's really
remember,
good to be
hey,
here.
Remember when you were Sandy Cohen?
I love
remember
you,
Salt
Sandy
My Game.
Cohen.
I got another question for you, Lynn.
All right.
This is a little more serious. The theater is my passion, but my passion does not pay the bills. I have found some success in stage managing locally. It's not enough to support my lifestyle, namely eating and having a roof over my head. I have a full-time career.
So selfish.
Not fulfilling, and it often prevents me from doing more theater projects. Learn to forage. How do I find balance between needing money to live and living for the arts? And that's from It's a Hard Knock Life in North Cornwall Township, PA.
Theater hotspot.
Yes, hotbed, timeout.
I mean, we shouldn't hate, because like we did theater for, Christ, like decades in Huntington, West Virginia, the Great White Way, which I say because it's only white people there.
Dude, their production of Saigon
did not work. Travis was in. This is no shit. Travis was in.
I think you're joking.
Travis was in a production of Fame where. Oh Christ, what was the role?
No, forget. Okay, well, Griffin, more strike. You're right in that we did have. There's a kid in the show named Tyrone, who is a young African American man who sings a song about being black. That includes lines like, you know, don't want no black Jack, Ace of Spades. That was played by...
Don't need no rich bitch.
Yeah, hold me down, right? It was played by a white gentleman, but wait, they did dye his hair black.
Oh, no.
Now,
so that's already cool.
You want me to top that? I played Lord High Underling in a 98% white version of The Wiz at my high school.
I also played a Siamese person in The King and I.
So that's where
Travis,
we're at.
Did you underwent a very, I would say, exhausting bronzing treatment for that, didn't you?
Yeah, I was tanning every day for 25 minutes
God.
A day.
God, see, I'm getting those stories now with Heights, because Heights is getting done all over the country, and they're like, check out our tans, and I'm like, no.
No, wait, please. I did that for South Pacific. I was the little boy in South Pacific. That was me. I dyed my hair black.
Can you give me that one more time?
Yes, please.
Oh, boy.
Still got it.
Still oh, my God. It. Amelie is.
That's where it came from. Oh, God. I wish somebody would write plays for white people.
For once. Lynn, should this person move? You think?
No. Well, I mean, if this person... Well, listen, everyone's trying to find that balance, right, of doing what you love and still having a roof over your head. I was a professional substitute teacher for 8 years when I was telling everyone I was a writer. I was, in fact, telling my kids when I was subbing, and they would just yell and throw things at me. I'd be like, I've got big dreams, kids. Listen, turn to chapter three.
I don't know maths.
Yes, but I'm workshopping this, kids. Tell me what you think. So, you know, that's the hard thing, is like finding jobs that give you flexibility. That's why a lot of actors are waiters. I was a sub. I was like a professional sub forever. I used to dance at bar mitzvahs, like, and not even
Hold on,
like
that's
as
something
the entertainment.
That's something they hire out?
Yeah, and it's
for substitute
it's really
teachers?
Weirdly pimpish. It's like they hire you to be a guy to encourage kids to dance. So you feel
Holy
weirdly. You're literally asking 13-year-olds, like, hey, Rachel, you're a woman now. Why don't you get your friends to come dance?
Oh, my God. Lynn, I did this exact job at Gino's Pub and Family Fun Center, except I put on a Hawaiian shirt and got people to do YMCA.
Oh, God.
Same thing, right?
Oh,
basically.
Yeah. It's tough. That's always the challenge.
I could have used you at, like, a couple homecomings. I feel like you could, like, run
hey,
the...
Griffin, get up and dance with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and literally be like, hey, Sweet Caroline, I know this one. Do you guys?
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's incredible. It was, why didn't you go?
I'm out of dignity.
Obviously.
I'm out of dignity. It's
obviously, you've done very well for yourself in the acting circuit, but did you ever consider going pro at the dance pimp circuit?
I'm so scared one day a video is going to emerge and it'll all be over. Just me dancing with, like, a 13-year-old girl doing the Macarena. Everything will end.
That'll be the clip for your in memoriam.
Na, na, na.
I saw a great tweet from Rob Lowe after the during the Oscars. Said that every time they get a shot of him opening a door and smiling, he wonders if it's the one they'll use for his in memoriam clip. Okay, I was at a function I didn't really want to be at recently. Everyone was wearing ties and fresh haircuts. The subject of musicals was brought up, whereupon I mentioned that I love them. When asked what I like, I said that Singin' in the Rain and Phantom of the Opera are two of my favorites. These selections were met with a certain amount of eye-rolling and dismissal. Obviously, I've seen other musicals, but I feel that these are famous and frequent favorites for a reason. Still, I was phased out of a conversation where musicals were discussed almost exclusively by lyricist / composer Brothers Gespert. What is the most obnoxiously obscure Broadway musical I could spring on Snooty Theater Know-It-Alls? That's from Petty Prospective Playbill Pedant.
That's fun.
Ugh. These friends sound like the worst. They
sound like the pits, right? Who doesn't want to appreciate the classic?
Is there...
Yeah, Singin' in the Rain is, like, the best movie musical ever
it's
made.
It's very good.
And Phantom... How old are you, Griffin? Phantom's older than Griffin. It's been running on Broadway longer than Griffin.
I am 14 years old.
And he owns a house.
And I own a house. Isn't that fucked up?
Yeah. No, it's literally been running two-thirds of my life. And you know why? This is I always wonder at it. I think it's because it gets at, like, your most emo teenager thing. It's, like, about, like, a guy who's like, I'm hideously ugly, but secretly I'm a genius.
Oh, Christ. They are going to remake this. And it's going to be called Friend Zone. And instead of a mask and horrible facial disfiguration, it'll be a fedora and horrible facial disfiguration.
But you know, if you want, I mean, if you want to say, if you want to like be really like highbrow, you just say Floyd Collins. Floyd Collins is like this really great musical by Adam Gettle about a guy who was stuck in a well, and it didn't run that long, so no one actually saw it, but everyone pretends to have seen it, and they go, "Oh, well, I saw Floyd Collins."
Is there a sort of relationship that sort of exists in music where if your show can make it to Broadway, it is no longer, you know, underground? Is there sort of that same sort of indie dichotomy of like once a band becomes so popular that like Pitchfork reviews them or features them as best new music that they're not underground anymore?
Like yeah, once you won your Tony, did people just write you off?
They're like, oh, he's bullshit. I know him before he was. I saw Heights before it was cool.
I saw him dancing with a 13-year-old girl.
I liked his old stuff when he was dancing with the Macarena at bar mitzvahs.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked his early stuff with Rachel. no, but, you know, the thing that happens with musical theater snobs is they like the thing that ran 10 performances or 11 performances and, like, flopped because no one went to see it. And they're like, oh, well, I saw it.
Because they're the only they're the only ones in the room who saw that. That, like, sort of experience is fossilized in amber.
That's kind of like a weird I've never really thought about the repercussions of, like, the potential for being a snooty fan of theater, because people can't seek out, like, they literally can't seek out this thing that you saw. Like, they can lay no claim to it whatsoever because it's so
right.
Impermanent.
Forever the Holy Grail, like, I don't know, seeing Nirvana when it was in a garage was seeing Carrie the musical, because it was like the biggest bomb of all time, and there was like a crazy hip-hop gym number, and so like if you saw Carrie when it was running, like way more people claimed to have seen it than actually saw
that's
it.
That's great.
Well, and that's the crazy thing about it, right? Because almost by definition, if something is really fantastic and like something you have to see, then it will be around for longer, right?
Yeah.
I saw the original actor in the Spider-Man musical before he broke every bone below his penis. He shattered every bone below his penis in the greatest fall I've ever seen.
You know, you joke, but it's funny. There's like a whole like movement of people who are like, I saw the Tamor version before they recut it, and it was so much better. Like, there's totally that. That's the corollary to the like hipster I saw it before it was popular thing. It was like, I saw it when it was bad. It was great.
Is there the room of musicals, I guess?
Yes, and it's called Dance of the Vampires. And it was
I'm already so fucking on board of this rocket.
And it was a huge hit in Germany.
Of course it fucking was.
It ran 14 performances on Broadway, and it was all Jim Steinman music. And he's the guy who wrote all of like Meatloaf's tunes.
Right. Okay, yes.
And so it was vampire porn mixed with, you know, I Would Do Anything for Love
fucking
type 8-minute.
So it was
so it's like basically every movie Johnny Depp's ever been in.
It was a 3-hour musical with 4 songs in it, is what you're telling me.
and lots of emoting and feelings, yeah.
Terrific.
I am so – do you know how I wake up angry that Jim Steinman never got to make his Batman musical? I wake up angry and go to bed angry about it.
I love me some Jim Steinman. My favorite rumor about Jim Steinman, I've never met him. I'm sure he's awesome. But my favorite rumor about Jim Steinman is that he goes into restaurants and goes, I will take everything on the menu, thank you. That's like a thing I've heard people who have eaten with him say. He goes, just one of everything, thank you.
He doesn't eat it. He just throws it away so other people can't have
it. Just to have it.
Sure.
Just to have it.
He wants there to be less food on Earth. Okay. Thank you so much to our special guest expert, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Whoa, I just barely got through it there. Hold on, right to the end. I had a little mini stroke. Nothing to worry about, folks. If people want to see you in person,
where do you live?
How can they?
What's your address?
How can they do that?
Oh well, you can follow me on the Twitter, Lin_Manuel, and you can come see Hamilton, which will open in January. At the Public. Oh, and I'm going to act in Tick, Tick, Boom this summer.
Oh, fuck, ooh. That's right, yeah.
At City Center in June. So, and that's like 5 shows. So you could just say you saw it even if you didn't get to see it and be like, I saw him in Tick, Tick, Boom. post Dancing with Rachel.
I did more performances of that if it's a bird, it's a plane, Superman, Lynn. What's going on? Tell them to step up.
That's their whole deal, though. They do it for like 5 shows. I mean, and that's the whole thing. But yeah, so I'm doing that, and I live in Washington Heights, and you can see me on the train.
Perfect. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you so much, and thank you for your sharing your wisdom with us. It means the world.
Thank you, fellas. It's a dream come true.
Aw, I was not kidding about that, Tony. I do need it.
Thank you so much to our friend, Lin-Manuel Miranda. You are a hero and a Max Fund donor, actually, funny enough.
How much?
I don't know.
But that's how I judge like how good a friend he is.
If you want to join Lin in our army of love, you and help us change the world, you can go to MaximumFund.org/donate and join up at one of those donation levels. $5 a month, you're going to get 44 hours. You can't. $5 a month and you get 44 hours of exclusive bonus content. That's insane. That's going to keep you going so long.
How much you spend on a movie ticket? And is that movie 44 hours? Oh, shit, I hope not.
That's too long.
You're
gonna get impacted bowels.
How is that movie theater even gonna stay open for 44 straight hours?
How are they gonna stay open for any extended period of time, charging $5 for 44-hour movie?
That's stupid.
Hopefully, you can spare $5 a month. That's all we're asking here. $5 a month. Go to MaximumFund.org/donate. If you can kick in more, if you can do $10 a month, that would be amazing. And you get a beautiful calendar to thank you. And more importantly, you get. All of us getting to keep creating stuff that you enjoy.
We use that money to grow the network and add podcasts. It's crazy how many podcasts we've added in the past year. We use it to buy new stuff, buy new equipment. We bought Travi a new computer because his died while we were recording an episode. Juice bought a pretty sweet sound mixing board. Can we talk about...
We have...
The preliminary plans in place for a live show, a live recording of this podcast, that we're gonna, can we say where?
It's going to be in New York City.
Going to be in New York City, Big Apple. Sorry, everywhere else. We've done basically every like quadrant of this country, of this great nation of ours, except for that one. So New York City, deets soon, hopefully.
What I would say, can we say a day, just so people can keep their calendars open?
I mean, what if it falls through? What if
we're getting
up?
Close to just like the event horizon? We might as well just tell them what it is.
Well, yeah. Okay, so New York, keep it locked to our MBMBAM on Twitter and our Facebook page, and you know we'll let you know as soon as tickets go on sale. There won't be like a crazy number of tickets, so you'll want to keep an eye out for that. And of course, we'll let you know on the next episode and stuff. So. That's going to be really fun, and we're really looking forward to it.
But we're hoping to do more over time. So, and your support of the Max Fund Network helps make that possible. It helps pay for our travel and makes us able to take some time off work to be able to do that kind of thing.
We tickets should go on sale soon, probably this week. So keep an eye out. And I think that's going to do it for us. You know, this week
Can I just say this since it's our last one, like. Our last Max Fund Drive app. Thank you guys so much. It's really amazing that everybody comes out to support us, but also that, like, I don't know, we only do this 11 days out of the year, and like we never hear shit. Like, we don't get shit for doing this. You know what I mean?
Like,
we
have not had one single solitary person complain about the drive to us this year.
Good job, you guys. Now we're going to get all kinds of people that are making jokes and cracking wise.
Nah, you guys are amazing, and it really does. The fact that you get it, like, it means the world to us.
So I want to say thank you to all you guys. Make sure at the end of, I think it's on Friday, the 28th, they're doing a live stream. Jordan Jesse Go is kind of like a thank you for the Max Fund Drive. So make sure to check that out.
I'm checking. I'm fact-checking you right now.
Thank you to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album, Putting the Days to Bed. go by that.
Yeah,
it's everybody tweeting about the show.
The live show is that they're doing for the live stream show is the 28th at 19 o'clock. I don't know if that's PT, ET, CT, MT. I don't know.
Keep it locked. Griffin, last question.
Keep it locked for 19. Thank you, everybody. It's finally Yahoo, sent in by Alan Black. Thank you, Alan Black. It's by Yahoo Answers user Corey James, who asks, did dinosaurs have scrotums?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis.
I need a fucking Cosmos app. I need to fucking soar into a Brachiosaurus's nuts.
It's been a bit of a minute since the last time a final question really broke me.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.